27. I want to read one verse in this chapter and maybe a couple of verses and bring it up. And I'm going to be briefer tonight than normal for sake of time. But I have some things I want to say in light of this special occasion this evening. So Psalm 127. And let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 here tonight. Verses 3 and 4, all right? Join me on verse 4. Our Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Let's pray together. Thank You, Lord, for what these young people did tonight. Lord, I pray that they will not only give their lives to the defense of our country's freedom and liberties, but Lord, that they'll most of all give their lives to You. And what a vital part in that decision parents play in the upbringing and modeling of that child. I pray, God, You'll put a great burden on the hearts of all parents of young children, especially in this room. May we do it for Your honor and glory. Help us to rear children that'll carry on what was handed to us, pass it down to their kids. Bless these few thoughts in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Many believe this psalm was written by David for his beloved son, Solomon. You know that Solomon followed in his daddy's footsteps to become king over Israel. Under Solomon's leadership, the nation of Israel experienced its apex of glory and power, even more so than David. The nation of Israel had a much more glorious existence under Solomon. In fact, the nation will never see another king like Solomon until the King of Kings comes to take his rightful seat on the throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, David said that youthful children were like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. He said they were like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So I want to make a few comments tonight about children in the hand of a mighty man, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So think about that for a few minutes with me. Just two or three thoughts tonight. Number one, arrows are made. Arrows are made. Now, in these times, there were no machines that turned out, aluminum shafted or carbon shafted arrows like there are today that turn out arrow after arrow after arrow in mass production, finely tuned on machines. Arrows were carved and polished from reeds or wood. That's what they were made from. And often the wood was rough and uneven, and it required much from the one who made them. And parents, if our children are going to turn out right, it's going to require much from dad and mom. It's going to. Much what? Well, how about this? How about much work? Much work. You see, it took work to take a crooked stick and fashion it into an arrow. Children do not come to us in perfect form. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They come to us in imperfect form. They come requiring work to develop them into shafts that fly straight. And if parents do not work with the children, the kids will never fly straight. You cannot launch a crooked arrow from a bow and expect it to fly straight. Now, I shoot carbon arrows now, but I used to shoot aluminum arrows. And in the process of practicing and everything, sometimes an arrow would get bent. And the arrow never would hit the mark. And it was the same arrow, time after time after time. And finally, I took it to a flat, level surface, and I put the veins, the feathers, off the table, and I just rolled it. And as it rolled down the table, that tabletop, it was bent. And that's why I wouldn't shoot straight. Because you can't take a crooked arrow and shoot it and expect it to fly straight. And the truth of the matter is, I see young couples sometimes, it seems like their attitude about bringing kids into the world is, oh, a baby is so much fun. And they are fun and they are enjoyable. But I'll tell you something, babies are not dolls that can be put away in the toy box when you're tired of them. Babies take a lot of work. Children take a lot of work. I believe it's normal and natural for couples to desire children, but parents need to realize that once the excitement of birth is over and get the new child home and so forth and so on, it boils down to hard work to rear a child. It's hard work. It's physical work and it's spiritual work to rear a child. But if they're going to fly straight, the work must be done. It takes instruction and it takes... I'm sorry, I thought these kids were going to drop their costumes out here and be done. I didn't know they were going to be coming in and out all the time. So give them a few minutes. They'll get situated here. I thought they were just going to drop them out there and be done. What was I saying? Oh, it takes instruction and discipline. Instruction and discipline. I've said it over and over and over again. It takes instruction and discipline, and you cannot do it with one without the other. It takes a combination of both. Some parents don't get the instruction part. All they want to do is discipline, punish, discipline, punish, discipline, punish, 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 punish. You never teach anything. It takes instruction. Some folks, all they want to do is teach, 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 and never discipline, never punish. You can't get the job done without both of them working together. It takes instruction and it takes discipline. And it takes instruction and it takes discipline. And it takes instruction and it takes discipline. It takes teaching, and then when they break the rules and it's necessary, it takes punishment. It takes both working. W-O-R-K-I-N-G. Working together. It takes both working together. And I'll say this. I've said it before. I told my Sunday school class. That's not the conventional wisdom of the world today. Never before has there been an attack on parents and families who punish their children biblically. There's a biblical way to punish your child. And it's certainly not beating them. It's not leaving huge bruises all over their body. Now, I know you ladies that work the nursery, sometimes you get a little baby in there, not a baby, but a toddler-aged child who has a little bruise on the bottom. I'll tell you something. I have no problem with the bruise on the bottom. But if it's a bruise on the body, that's a problem. Now, if it came from a fall or something like that, that's one thing. But I mean, if there's an obvious situation where there's an abuse going on in the home, friend, I'm going to tell you something. They make government agencies to deal with those kind of people. Amen. That's right. Sickest thing in the world is for a child to suffer abuse. There's a way to biblically discipline your child. Now, there's a guy out there, I don't know, I have no idea where he lives or who he is, but he is on an effort to try to get into Christian schools and churches and worm his way even into homes to find out if you biblically spank your child. He called the church two Fridays ago. He hasn't called in a long time, but he called and Maud Liga took the phone call. I think you took it. He's called my house five or six times. I'm never home when he calls. Always talks to my wife. We're new in the area. You have a Christian school. We'd like to put our kids in the Christian school. She starts answering the questions. Well, great. We have this 15-year-old daughter, and, you know, she's rebellious, and, boy, she's disobedient. And do you folks, at your school, do you discipline kids? The antennas went up, thank God. She said, you know, you'll have to talk to my husband about that. He's never called me. Never called me. Then I began to find out he was calling Marion Avenue Baptist Church. He was calling First Baptist Church in Hammond. He called other churches in the area and pastors in different areas and just trying to worm his way in to get somebody to admit that we don't spank children in our school. I said before, I'm not going to go to jail for a rebellious 8-year-old. If he can't get along, he'll just have to go to school somewhere else. Because I'm not going to jail for a child like that. Amen. I got my own to take care of. You got your own to take care of. There's a biblical way to do it. And do it right. And if you don't do it, you're not going to turn those arrows out straight. It takes instruction and it takes discipline. It takes work. It's work, 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 work. Those arrows are made. But something else it takes, and sometimes parents don't have a lot of this, it takes patience. Arrows were made by the patient hands of a craftsman. It was a process that took time. You can't sit down in a few hours back in Bible days and make a straight arrow. You work on it and work on it and work on it and work on it with great patience until that thing is finely tuned, flying straight. In the same manner, children are not straightened out in 1 week, 1 month, or 1 year. It takes place over a process of time. And this can get very trying, and parents are oftentimes tempted to give up in frustration. But parent, do not give up. Stay at it. Be patient. Be gentle. Be loving. Give instruction. If need be, give punishment. And just stay at it. Be gentle. Be loving. Be consistent. And give instruction, and if need be, give punishment. Be gentle, be loving, be consistent, give instruction, and if need be, give punishment. And just stay at it, and just stay at it. And I've had more than one parent come in the office and say, it's not working. It's not working. And the child is 5 years old, or 7 years old. Be consistent. Stay at it. Some are faster learners than others. I had 6 kids in the home. Some of them learned very quickly. Some of them are still in the process of learning. It takes time. I remember one of these young people that was in this program up here tonight. I remember when the dad, maybe it was dad and mom, but it might have been dad by himself, but I forget. They came, and there was frustration in their voice and frustration. All, you know, it's not working. It's not working. We're doing it, and we're doing it, and we're doing it, and dealing with it, and we're dealing with it, but it's not working. And the child was young. And I remember saying these words, just stay at it. Be consistent. Stay at it, and be consistent. And you know what? I remember when the man came back and said, you know what, Pastor? It worked. Sometimes it takes time. That young person was on this stage tonight is one of the better behaved young people in our elementary school. And a few years ago, the parents were frustrated. But they're not going to get it in the first 4 years sometimes. They may not get it in the first 7 years. But if you be consistent and stay at it, have patience, they will get it. Amen. They'll get it. So arrows are made. Now let me say this. Arrows need to be aimed in a certain direction. You know, you can shoot an arrow in the air with no particular target in mind, but how much do you accomplish? I remember we had archery class in high school, and I was unsaved and ornery, and the teacher was done. We were shooting with long bows, not recurves. We're not shooting with compound bows like we shoot with today. We're shooting with recurve bows. And I remember when the instructor turned his back, I sat down on the ground. I put my feet on the bow, and I put both hands on the string, and I leaned back like this, and I pointed that thing up in the air, and went pew, and that thing went pew, way up in the air. It went a long way. Too long, because the instructor had time to turn around and see it flying through the air. Who shot that arrow? And I got to serve a detention. Any of you guys remember our public high school serving detention? Brother Dave, what does that mean? Are you itching your head, or are you saying, yes, I remember that? Serving detention? Yeah. Any of you ever served detention? All right, there we go. Yeah, served detention. Now, I shot that arrow a long way, but it certainly didn't accomplish a thing. On the other hand, when a target has been picked out and careful aim has been taken, an arrow can accomplish a great deal. Arrows can supply food for the table. Amen. Good food, better than beef. Yeah. That's what arrows can do. They can destroy an enemy. They can deter an attack if they're aimed at something, if there's a target. Now, most parents do not choose a profession or vocation for their children, but I'll say this, good parents do point them in a direction that will be beneficial for their life. And if nothing else, parents, point your children in the direction of the will of God. Point them in the direction of the will of God. Now, in order to do this, you will have to make sure that they see and understand that the things of God are a priority in your life. It's not going to be, do as I say, not as I do. That's not going to work. They're going to have to see and know that the things of God are big to dad and mom. Huge. It's a priority in my parents' life. Growing up, they need to know that the family's life revolves around the things of God. That we do not just fit God into our life somehow, somewhere, some way. No, that's the wrong approach. Our family life revolves around the will of God. We don't just find a way to fit it in. You see, that is why in this age it is good and beneficial to build your family's life around the local New Testament church. You are unwise to have a family and do your best to fit church into the family. You're unwise to allow things of far lesser importance to have priority. In order to participate in something, if you need to participate in something, and if it means that the schedule must be adjusted, do not skip church to accommodate the event. Skip something else. Because whatever it is that is skipped takes on a lesser priority in the mind of a child. You see, don't get in the habit, parents, of making the comment, church is important, but... A child can't get that. Church is important, but there's something more important than church. You know, you can't get in the habit of saying that, see, because if you got to aim those kids in the direction of the will of God, and you can't just say it, you got to live it. You got to live it in front of them. We have two kids who are now young adults. One of them has a child of his own now. One of them hopefully will have a child of her own in the next 8 to 10 days, Lord willing. We have a third child that just departed her teenage years this past Thursday. No longer a teenager. Three of them. They were raised in a family whose life was built around church. You say, well, you're the pastor. I'd like to think that if I was a mechanic, a truck driver, a computer programmer, a nuclear engineer, I'd like to think that they would still be reared in a family whose life was built around church. They all went to church camp. They all went to youth conferences. They went to youth activities through their senior year. They never got too big for the youth activities toward the end of their senior year. If they did, they didn't tell me. Because I would have told them real quick, you're not too big. One of them graduated and went to church camp after high school graduation with the teenagers. I don't think it's hurt them. They went to TNT and they went to college and career activities as long as they lived in my house. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Church has never harmed my kids. Some person may have hurt them a little bit, but that's a part of life. They may get hurt in church, but they'll also get hurt at work by people. They get hurt in the neighborhood by people. They may get hurt within the realm of my own extended family by people. That's life. But they've never been harmed in church. Ever. They've never been harmed by the church activities. I remember a little story on Ben. I remember when I think he was married. The year before he was married. The summer he got married. And he was washing those windows. It was a good paying job. Man, it paid him well. And we were talking on the phone. He was in Oklahoma and I was up here, of course, we were just talking on the phone. I don't know why I asked this. Yeah, I do. I know why I asked it, because there's a God in heaven. I just asked him, I said, what's Brother Vineyard teaching on Wednesday nights? He said, well, I haven't been to church the last 3 or 4 Wednesday nights. I said, where have you been? He said, well, Dad, you know, I worked till about 7, 6:30, 6:45, 7. And he said, I'm dressed in my work clothes and I just been, you know, headed to the dormitory and get washed up. And by the time, and you know, and this and that, it's just too late to go. You like this or lump it? He was almost married. I said, son, I didn't rear you to miss Wednesday night church. Didn't rear you to miss Wednesday night church. I said, Brother Vineyard won't care. You walk in your blue jeans. You walk in your T-shirt. If you have to get there when he starts teaching the Word of God, if you have to miss the song service, you do what you got to do to get to church. I didn't rear you to miss. Well, he told me some months later, he said, Dad, he said, then we'll forget that phone call. He said, I never miss another Wednesday night. We made it a priority. We made it a priority. I cannot. I'm scratching my head. I do not understand the logic or consistency of keeping your kids out of Sunday school or youth camp because you're concerned about the influence of others and yet letting them participate in organized community sports programs. I scratch my head. Do what? Keep them out of Sunday school because you're afraid in a Sunday school class they're going to hear something that's hurt and put them out there with a bunch of unsaved boys and girls in a community sports thing? Do what? The consistency, the logic in that? I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. I ain't buying that. I don't get it. But that's what, you know, that's what, well, I'm afraid they might hear something that wouldn't. Wonder what they're hearing out there on the ball field. Maybe, or the ice rink or wherever they're going. Huh? Where what they're hearing out there. I don't get that logic, friend. I want to tell you something. They're certainly not hearing stories from the Bible. I'll roll the dice if you want to call it a gamble. I'll take the Sunday school class 25 times over the baseball game. I'll take the Sunday school class 25 times over the hockey game. I don't get that consistency, that logic. If you want your kids to grow up and be involved in church, you better aim them that direction and don't alter that halfway through their teen years. Stay consistent. Stay consistent. Let me say this, and I'll be done tonight. Number three, not only are arrows made, not only are arrows released at a arrows aimed at a target, but arrows are released. Now, this goes from parents with little children to parents with married children or marrying age children. You don't buy a dozen arrows just to carry them around in a quiver and admire them. You buy an arrow with the intention of releasing it someday. It's not made to stay in the quiver. It's made to release. That's why you buy it. You don't buy it to walk around and hold it and look at it. There's not going to be a whole lot of meat on the table if you do that. They've got to be released. Listen to me. That's the most difficult part of rearing children. Someday they have to be released. And there are some parents who have a 3,000-mile umbilical cord. You can't let go. But you got to. My wife and Gail Myers were talking one day when I think maybe they were on ladies' visitation together. And they were talking about their married daughters. And they were talking about how hard it was to let go of married children. And Gail told Joyce, she said, you know, Tom and I had to come to the realization it was a shock when we realized they were not spending their time planning their next trip home to see us. It was a shock when we realized they weren't waiting by the phone for us to call. You know, they got a life of their own. They have places they want to go and things they want to do and time planned. Now, those who live in a close geographical area to their married kids must respect the fact that they are their own family. They have their own home. They have their own family structure. They have their own life. You know what you got to do, Dad and Mom? You got to let go. Can't take advantage of them. Now, married children, married boys, married girls ought to always be willing to help their parents, especially when they get aged and need help. They ought to be willing to do that. But I want to tell you something. You can't take advantage of having a married boy or a married girl in the area. You can't go barging in their house like it's yours. It's not yours. It's not yours. That's my boy. It's his house, sir. It's my daughter. It's her house. Can't do that. You got to respect those married kids. Let them have their privacy. That's what I thank the Lord about. You know, for 10 years out there in Washington, Iowa, man, my in-laws never abused the closeness. Never abused the closeness. You know, every Friday night for the past 3 months, it was Let's call Hannah. Let's call Hannah. This is the kids. The siblings wanted to call their sister. And finally, my wife put her foot down. And she said, you know what? You're not calling Hannah on Friday night. She teaches all week. Jason teaches all week. And Friday school's out. The weekend's approaching. You're not going to bother them on Friday night. And she told Hannah that. And Hannah said, Mom, thank you. That's not that Hannah doesn't love her brothers and sisters. But she has her own life. Y'all listen to me tonight? But I'm talking, look, you said, well, you just get, I deal with people. I deal with problems. I know what I'm talking about. Arrows are made to be released. You got to let them go. The most difficult thing is to let them go. But I want to tell you something. It's the most rewarding thing if they fly straight and hit the mark. 3 John verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'll have to consistently work and have patience, aim them in the right direction, and let them go to build a life with their spouse. And the most rewarding thing in the world is to see them at that age in life hit the mark. And then soon, they have little arrows of their own. And the process starts all over again. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. Arrows are made, they're aimed a certain direction, and they're made to be released. And that's what God said. They're arrows, children, arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Work. Patient, point them in the direction of the will of God, and someday let them go. And they'll fly straight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. I wonder if there'd be anybody in the midst tonight. You say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I do not want to miss heaven for all of eternity. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand if that's you tonight? Not sure that you're saved. Would you lift your hand and see a small child's hand? May God bless that little child. God bless you. May take your hand down. If you're old enough to be saved, talk to your mom. Talk to your dad. Tell them, Mom, I want to be saved. Daddy, I need to be saved. Anybody here tonight has been saved and not baptized, not followed the Lord in believer's baptism? Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? I see a young child. God bless you. May the Lord continue to speak to your heart. I wonder who's here tonight. Parents, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want my kids to fly straight. Something to said tonight in the service. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a parent of older children, married children. Maybe you're a parent of young children, somewhere in between. Something that was said tonight. I heard it before, but boy, when you said it, the Spirit of God kind of brought it home. Or, you know, we're getting ready to have children. Or I want my kids to fly straight. Pray that I'll do what's necessary to see him hit the mark. Would you raise your hand tonight if that's your prayer? Thank you. Take your hands down. Our Father, bless this church. Bless these dear people, these families. My great desire is to see, Lord, strong families built for the cause of Christ, for the sake of Jesus. If we're going to do something to help turn the tide in this country and keep our church what it ought to be, it'll have to begin at home. God, please help us. Help us as parents to work hard and have patience and to build our lives around your will, God. And not just say to our children, do as I say, but say to them, do as I do. Lead them. And when the time comes, help us to release them and let them go. And God, may they please hit the mark. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. And we'll have the altar open. May the Lord speak to you and help you tonight. Raise your hand. You want to do a little prayer time at the altar. You come. While we wait. That's my prayer. I want my kids to fly straight. I want to hit the mark on the kids.